We're doing the Drashot Aran, we're up to page Kuf Chafei in the Shalem edition, Reish Peichet in the Masada of Kuk edition. Ulefi divrei Rabbi Avraham ibn Ezra, shum farish bechol makom she'nemar na, shu lashon ata, going with the Ibn Ezra's interpretation that the word na, in all of Tanakh, the Ibn Ezra says, the word na means now, and we're trying to understand what Hashem was saying when he suddenly appeared to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam and said, Shim'una divarai, please listen to what I have to say. Aaron and Miriam had been discussing Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem suddenly appears and says, please listen to what I have to say. So the Ran had said, Hashem was saying, even though I know you guys aren't ready for this, but please let me tell you something, even though you're not ready for it. And that was the na, because they weren't pure, and it was painful for them to hear prophecy when they weren't spiritually ready. That's why Hashem said shimuna. But going with Ibn Ezra's interpretation, that na means now, and in this parsha, you have a proof for the Ibn Ezra's interpretation. You see, Moshe in his prayer over Miriam says, Hashem, no, heal na her. Why does he say the word na? Kloma refa ata la. What he was asking is, Hashem, please heal her now. Hashem itbach eshivo, and that's what Hashem answers him and says, Shamati tfilatcha sher peena. In fact, I've heard your prayer. I will cure her. Aval lo ata, but I'm not about to do it right now. Ki ilu avi hayarok yarak befaneha lo tikalem shivat yamin. Because had her father spit in her face, then she would have been embarrassed for 7 days. Kal vachomer l'shechina. Certainly, when the Shechina is upset at her, it should take a little bit of time before we make up. Mizei yirei ki na l'shon ata. Here you have it. This is one indication that the Ibn Ezra's pshat is right, that the word na means now. You could also argue that the word na could go both ways. It could mean please, it could mean now. And then the word na fits over here very well. Hashem said to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, Shimu ata divarai. Hashem said, listen to what I have to say now. Klomar af al pi she'en mechokchem lekabel hadibur pitom. Hashem was telling them, even though I know it's against your nature to suddenly get prophecy. Ordinarily, Aaron, Miriam, you prepare yourself, you immerse yourself, you arrange your thoughts so you can get prophecy. Nonetheless, I want you to hear what I have to say now, even though you're not ready for it. And so, you will experience, and through your experience, you will understand. You will realize that Moshe was in the right for separating from his wife, because Moshe has to be on call all the time. That's why Moshe separated from his wife. And so Hashem said, listen now. And they're suffering and saying, oh, wait, we're not ready for this. Then they would understand on their own that Moshe was really correct in separating for his wife, from his wife. And undoubtedly this was really unnatural for Aaron and Miriam, for they really had to prepare themselves for prophecy. And I think, says the Ran, that in fact this is why Moshe was summoned together with Aaron and Miriam. Because technically, God is talking to Aaron and Miriam. Why is he calling Moshe here? What does Moshe have to do with this conversation? Because we don't find that God says anything to Moshe. God calls out Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, and then he speaks to Aaron and Miriam. So why was Moshe invited? So Nachmanides says that God wanted Moshe to see how God was vengeful for Moshe's honor. And secondly, God wanted Moshe present. so that he would be available for Aaron and Miriam, Shalom Chol Hashem Yitbarach, Rak Al Yado, because Hashem, so to speak, says, I can't forgo his honor. If Moshe will be present, then when I get upset at them, Moshe can forgive them right away. God says, I'm not going to forgive on Moshe's behalf, but he can forgive right away. They'll come and ask him forgiveness right away, and then I'll be able to forgive them right away. And this interpretation of Nachmanides works with Rabbi Nosson, the Tana, who is quoted in the Medrash Sifri. The Rabbi Nosson says the following, when they spoke about Moshe, it was in front of Moshe. The verse says, Aaron and Miriam spoke, Hashem heard, and Moshe was so humble, extremely humble. So, Rabbi Nosson understands that the word Vayishma is not only about Hashem. When it says Vayishma, you have to read it as Vayishma Hashem, Vayish Moshe, Anav Meod. And Hashem heard, and Moshe also heard, but he was extremely humble. Ela Shekavash Moshe Al Hadavar. But Moshe stood silent. He didn't say anything. Meaning, Aaron and Miriam are talking about him in front of him. His older siblings have an issue with him. Hey, what are you doing, Moshe? Why aren't you with your wife? They're taking him to task over it. And he doesn't say a word. He is so humble, even though he knows he's right, he doesn't argue with his older siblings. So, Nachmanides' pshat works according to Rabbi Nosson. But according to the opinion in the Medrash that says, Vayishma Hashem, melamed shelo hayta sham briya, there's a second opinion that says, why does the verse say, Vayishma Hashem, to indicate that only Hashem heard? Aaron and Miriam had a private conversation. They wouldn't say this in front of anyone else. They had a private conversation about their brother. And only Hashem heard. The second opinion in the Sifri says, on the contrary, the verse Vayishma Hashem indicates it was a private conversation where only them two were present. According to that, Moshe was oblivious to their sin. He didn't know anything about it. And even now, even though Hashem was upset at them, Moshe, nonetheless, didn't know. God calls him. God's protecting his honor. But he doesn't know that Hashem is protecting his honor because he doesn't know what happened. Suddenly Hashem says, I'd like to have a word with you. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam come out. And Hashem says, you know, if there's any other prophet but Moshe, you know what kind of prophecy I give him? No one else is like Moshe. Were you? Shouldn't you have been more respectful? Shedibur. Because the whole conversation is between Hashem and Aaron and Miriam. Hashem turns to Aaron and Miriam and says, if anyone but Moshe has prophecy, then his prophecy is totally different. So then why was Moshe invited to the conversation? God isn't talking to him. Hashem calls Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Come, I want to have a word with you. They walk out of the camp, and then Hashem speaks to Aaron and Miriam, and Moshe is standing on the sidelines. God isn't talking to him. So why is he there? He doesn't know that they did anything wrong to him. He's standing on the side and they're getting a prophetic vision. What's he there for? On the contrary, Aaron and Miriam turned to Moshe and say, you know, we made a mistake. We spoke about you improperly. But God didn't tell him any of that. So why was Moshe invited out? So I think, says the Ran, that it was super necessary to invite Moshe out. And now the Ran is going to teach us a concept which is relevant throughout Tanakh. He's going to start a concept and show us how this concept appears over and over again in Tanakh. He says the following. What's about to happen? Aaron and Miriam are supposed to get prophecy. Well, Aaron and Miriam are not fit for prophecy. They're not ready to get prophecy on the spur of the moment. They need a lot of preparation. So in order for them to get prophecy, Hutzrach sheitzteref Moshe imahim. Moshe had to be joined to them. Ki biyotah shofat al Moshe sheya ra'uyu muchan nekach. Because if Moshe is standing there, And Moshe is on call constantly. So Moshe can get his prophetic vision. Yimashech ha-shefa gam la'aron u'miryam. So there's a concept, says the Ran, that if one person is on an elevated level, so it's as though his cup overflows onto others. Really, they can't have prophecy. They cannot, Aaron and Miriam. But the fact that Moshe is standing there affects them that now they too can have prophecy. And the Ran is going to spend now a few pages showing us this fantastic concept, how it shows up throughout Tanakh, that when you have a great person standing next to other people, they can attain heights that they cannot do on their own. Standing next to him allows them. They, so to speak, get the charge from him. He goes up there, they can get that too. Yes?
So would an example of that be how Shaul was able to start prophesying when he started coming near the prophet Yeshiva of Shmuel?
Very nice. Makes sense. Yes?
What about the whole thing about Sinai? Is it about, like, are we saying that those people were all, we're saying that all of Miriam were leaders of these people, or we're saying that the entire congregation of Israel saw prophecy?
They prepared themselves for 3 days, 49 days. After preparation, they could get it. That can happen on a one-time basis, yes. Can be. The Rashba writes that that's a miracle. Just like you could have miracles where a person can come back from the dead, so you can have miracles where people who are not fit for prophecy can suddenly get prophecy. That's what the Rashba writes. First example of this we find earlier in the Torah, in that very parsha. God tells Moshe with regards to the 70 elders, I will descend and speak with you there, and I will spread the shine of your spirit and let it land on them. What does it mean? Ve'atzalti, spread the shine. Ve'tirgem unkulus, so unkulus translate, ve'arbi, I will multiply the spirit that's on you. It seems that the 70 elders were unfitting at that time on their own. They were unfitting to get prophecy. Aval mitzad she'hayta shofat v'chala al Moshe, because prophecy settled, and so to speak, it was overflowing on Moshe, so then it could extend to them too, even though they weren't really all on that level. And this is the way the Ran says, this is a concept in prophecy, this is a concept in miracles of the Torah as well. We will see right now, with the miracles of the Torah of Niflotan, wondrous things, very often God wants to do a miracle. God says, bring along something that will be the root of the miracle. It's not that God does a miracle in a vacuum. There's empty space and suddenly, boom, there's a pot of gold. No, that's not the way it works, as we'll see. So he's giving us two concepts that play themselves out throughout Tanakh. One is that a great person can affect people standing around him, even though they're not on that level. They can attain his height or an element of his level merely by being next to him, even to the point of prophecy. And number two is when God wants to bring blessing to the world, when God wants to make a miracle in the world, God often says, let's bring something that's holy, something that's been affected, that in its presence, then other things will be affected as well. We find this example where the woman comes and weeps to Elisha. She says, you know, my husband saved all the prophets and he took loans and got into debt to save the prophets. And now the debtors are coming collecting and they're going to take my two children and sell them into slavery because I have no money. And Elisha asks her, what do you have at home? And the woman says, I don't have anything. I have a little vessel and a such. A little, you know, like the thing they sell, vanilla extract, these little bottles. She says, I have a little bottle of oil. That's all I have left, a tiny flask of oil. And Elisha tells her, fine, go to all your neighbors and borrow as many vessels as you can. And then turn over that little bottle of oil and it'll keep pouring, and the kids will pass you one vessel after another, and they'll all get filled with that little flask of oil. So you see that the miracle with that began with some oil. God says, take some oil, and then we'll make it that it flows and doesn't stop. The same thing happens with Moshe and the 70 elders. Moshe's there, his prophecy lands on him, and it doesn't stop. It extends to everyone. The same thing happens now with Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. I'd like to continue, only because he's going to show us an application of this that's relevant to our parsha. So we might as well keep going. But if you guys want, we could do that next week. It's all one Torah. Should we pause here or keep going? Ramban, Jewish history, Rambam. There's a lot of Torah to learn. Okay, so I'll tell you the application, and we'll get to it later. The application is with regards to the staff. If Moshe is told to go and speak to the rock, why does God tell him in our parsha, take along the staff? Why does the staff have to be there if he's only going to talk to the rock? So the Ran says that's an application of this concept. That's a staff that's had many miracles done through it. So Hashem says, take it along, and then, so to speak, the staff will affect the rock. But the staff doesn't have to come in contact with the rock. Just being in its presence will affect the rock. So this idea that when a spirit of holiness descends on one person, it can affect someone else, is not only about people, it's also about inanimate objects. Where a staff that's had miracles performed through it will affect other things in its presence. That's, in a nutshell, the concept he will develop, as we'll see next week and the week after.